The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So January is Respect Life Month. And each and every one of us has a particular mission from Almighty God. We have Isaiah, a special servant, prophet, preaching to Israel. We have Paul, who is called to be an apostle by the will of God to spread the message of Christ. And we have John the Baptist, a special way to point out Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. Each and every one of them has a particular mission. Now, that's a truth of our faith, that God created us for a reason. Now, sometimes we may think, well, you know, Father, I have a vocation as a mother, spouse, vocation as a father, vocation as a teacher, etc. And I'm not sure how I fit in the vast scheme of God's will. Well, Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman also, too, had that thought. And he said this, he said, "God has created me to do him some definite service. I know that. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another." We're all unique in God's creation. He said, "I have my mission." Then he says, "I never may know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I have a part in a great work. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it. But if I do but keep his commandments and serve him in my calling." So he's saying, we all have a particular vocation in life to work at it with our heart and ask the Lord's blessing. And God works all these other details. We're links in a chain. But wherever we're placed, he said, "I shall preach the truth in my own place where God has placed me." And we know we have that lie that's rampant in society that not everyone has equal dignity. We as followers of Jesus Christ know that from the moment of conception that there is a human life there, a soul infused by Almighty God himself, that dignity of a person created in the image and likeness of God remains until their natural death. Now, unfortunately, in the history of the world, many times that basic truth has been denied. In 1860, you were a slave, the Supreme Court said you weren't fully human. In the 1930s, if you were in Germany, if you were Jewish or if you were a gypsy, you weren't considered fully human. And before the Holocaust there, and Auschwitz and Dachau, what preceded that was abortion and euthanasia in Nazi Germany. So we all have a particular mission in life. And anytime I talk about or touch on the subject of abortion, I usually will get a letter, something like this. I got a letter like this a couple months ago. They say, "Father, I disagree with you." Well, it's not so much me who you're disagreeing with. You're disagreeing with Jesus Christ, church, common sense, really. And it'll say something like this: "My daughter was raped. She should not have the responsibility of taking care of a child like that. So we had an abortion. In that case, it's okay." No, it's never okay. It's never okay. Even an extreme case like that, even in a case of incense, there's an innocent life there. And I thought I'd just share just a couple of short stories here. One, the lady, her name is Alice. And she says, yes, I was conceived when my mother was raped. Her comment when I finally met her 3 years ago, she was in her mid-40s then, she said, I couldn't kill a kitten or a puppy. How could I kill an innocent baby? She knew it wasn't my fault. She is my hero. And now responsible for 4 other human beings, my 2 sons, my grandson, and another one on the way. She said, people shouldn't play God in that they determine who lives and who dies. Having forgiven the man, my mother was able to live her life freely. There are many other rape stories because the children are small and these stories don't come out. Mothers want to protect themselves and their children, but because of the stigma involved, people fear rejection. I am secure in who I am, she says. God chose a horrible situation to show how powerful he is to change things. I personally know one girl raped by her father and gave birth to a beautiful boy. She is actively involved in his life, and the adopted parents are secure enough to agree. Now that's real life and freedom. She says, I hope people rethink their thinking about life. There's another case when I was in seminary. I used to go down to Fairfax, Virginia. I had a high school apologetics class there. And there's some tapes that were used by a lady, her name is Pam Stenzel. She speaks to an average of about 20,000 students per month, either in high school and college. She talks about sexually transmitted diseases and how that's rampant and respecting life and everything. She was born in 1964, and she was the product for rape. Her mother became pregnant, and her mother made the right choice. So I think about this wonderful speaker. If you go on the internet, put Pam Stenzel, you see the wonderful work that she does. But she was the product of a rape. God had a mission for her. There's another story, a lady, her name was Lee. At the age of 17, she was raped. But she made the right choice, and she gave birth to a beautiful little baby girl, Julie. And this touching story that happened, there's a lot of details, and I can only just touch on it. She said, it was my husband who convinced me that Julie had to be told the circumstances surrounding her birth. Then it was my husband who phoned Julie's husband, Bob, and told him the truth. And Bob was the one who broke the news to Julie. So what happens at the age of this girl who was conceived of rape, 20 years later, she meets her mother. And she says, a loving embrace. And at the time, she already had 2 kids. She embraced me, and we cried. And she said, thank you for not aborting me. And then the husband said, thank you for keeping her. What my life be without my beautiful wife here. And the story, and this does not have to do with rape, but Tim Tebow, the Heisman Trophy winner in 2007, threw 51 touchdowns. The doctor told Mrs. Tebow to abort her child. She said, no. From the moment of conception, God has a special plan for our life, even before then. He says, even before I formed your womb, I knew you, says in Isaiah. So we all have a particular mission in God's life. And that's the truth. The devil wants to say, no, you're not needed. You're not needed. This child isn't needed. It's not a child. And this big lie that's angers me. I've been to the pro-life march in Washington, D.C. maybe about 7 times. You know, that's the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision, January 22nd, 1973, that said that the child in the womb does not have rights, the right to life. And when you go to the Washington, D.C. march, there's literally hundreds of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands. But then what would happen the next day or that evening, you see the news, nothing. Nothing would be mentioned. I'm going, what? And the other high school kids on this, the other college kids would see that. It was so blatant. What a lie by the media. In Washington, D.C., we have all these media outlets and everything, that it wasn't even reported. On occasion, if something was reported, it would only give us a little snippet. It seemed like, oh, it's just a small little group there. What a lie. We have the dignity. We're created in the image of likeness of God with a special, particular plan. God has us here and now, this January 2011. He wants us to be voice for the voiceless. We have to pray when the subject comes up, the workplace, family, wherever. we have to speak up for them. Do you realize if we just speak up, what will happen? We'll see at the end of time, different lives were saved. Well, my grandmother said this. Well, my aunt said this. And then a girl, maybe 15 or 17, hears that, and it saves a life. And we have across the way Planned Parenthood, who's the biggest promoter of abortion in the country. And I'm going to be out there this Friday, about 12:15, 12 o'clock in that area, praying peacefully, rosary. I ask, if you're not working at the time, if you could come out. And then on Saturday, January 22nd at 10:30, in downtown Dubuque, at Washington, the gazebo there, many pro-lifers are coming together, and we're going to be praying for life. And there's the Walk for Life. I think it maybe goes about 45 minutes or so. But if you can, make that sacrifice and come out there. Be a voice for the voiceless and stand with Jesus Christ. You know, it's just a wonderful thing to be alive. It's even more wonderful to have the faith because we know that we have the truth. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.